Christian Science and Christian Scientists by Francis J. Flunno, CSD. Member of the Board of Lectureship of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientist, in Boston, Massachusetts. Published in the Evening Herald of Klamath Falls, Oregon, June 30, 1916. Christian Science is the Law of Truth, Science and Health, page 482, known, understood, and found demonstrable. It is the science of being, the science of life. It is the knowledge of truth and true being, reduced to a system. Its name defines it, for it is perfectly Christian, because it countenances no wrong, either in theory or practice. That it is scientific, for it admits of no error, either in premise or conclusion. Its name is just what it should be, is as definite and significant as it can be. Christian scientists are individuals who have found this truth and found it to be true. Found Christian Science and found it to be scientific, are succeeding in a measure to demonstrate it upon themselves and others who come to them for help. Step by step they are learning their way out of bondage into liberty, out of faults and failures into correctness and right. Finding their way more and more out into the grand possibilities that await them in the great science of truth and true being, of which they are earnest advocates and exponents. Christian Science is the law of life, truth, and love, understood and demonstrated, that has come to the world, and has come by revelation to one who through many years was being fitted to receive it and give it to a waiting people. Christian Science is being recognized and acknowledged as science, and hence is being received and taught scientifically and understandingly. Because it is science, it is demonstrable and is being demonstrated in every nation of the civilized world, and because it is science, and can be, and is being demonstrated, therefore the world must and will receive it, and nothing can stand before it. It is the eternal truth, whose convincing and converting powers nothing can daunt, and whose onward march no foe can cope with. Those who have espoused this cause are working earnestly and courageously, demonstrating for themselves and for the world this gospel of on earth peace, goodwill toward men, and though they find at times the burdens large and heavy, yet added strength is given with each added load to bear. They feel that much has been done for them, and of them much will be required. For Christian scientists are individuals who, like all the world whether they know it or not, were sinning against themselves and their own best interests, and suffering because of their sinning, and who came to the healing waters of the Christ cure and were cleansed of their sins, and when they were washed they were healed of their malady, cleansed of their sins and their consequent suffering, and now, humbly and meekly, yet boldly and mightily, they are following Christ, through evil as well as good report. Christian Science cannot fail any more than the science of numbers can fail. Mathematics never deceives, the science of numbers will never fail in any problem and figures will not falsify concerning it. Likewise, Christian Science is absolutely scientific, and the science of being cannot fail. The eternal laws of life, truth, and love, having their foundation in the one God, can no more fail than their foundation principle, the eternal God, can fail. Statements logical and scientific. Christian Science makes its statements logically true and scientifically correct. The science of being is as independent as the science of mathematics. Like the spirit of love, it seeks no reward and fears no punishment. Since it is the eternal fact of being, it can stand alone, being true, and its principal truth, it asks no support from anyone or anything. It is the same whether thousands rally to its standard, or seek to trail its banner in the dust. It is a living reality, and its principal everlasting life, and therefore it cannot die. It will live through all the ages yet to come, as it has lived through all the ages that have already come. Christian Science is the eternal law of being, and does not teach eternal banishment from God, or good, but on the contrary it teaches that all must come to truth at last. God is the all-powerful one. How then could there be any other power? How could man, having no power apart from God, sin against God and be forever lost? All we have and are is from God, the divine source of being, and it is a self-evident fact that whatever of good there is for us in the great unchangeable is waiting for us now. Hence the farther we go astray, and the longer we stay away, the greater will be our sufferings and the longer we will have them to bear. God is omnipotence, and being the same, yesterday, and today and forever, His omnipotence forever has been, and forever will remain. Hence no other power can be, no other power has ever been, and no other power can ever be able to stay His mighty hand, or thwart Him in His purpose. Therefore God and heaven are, and their opposites, the devil and hell, are not, and divine science is the angel that comes today to lay hold on that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and will chain him and cast him into the bottomless pit, the great nowhere, and his angels with him. But neither Satan nor his angels are personal devils. Satan is the lying spirit, or spirit that lies, which is but the testimony of the physical senses which never tells the truth, and the angels of Satan are personified evils resulting from the testimony of these false senses, such as jealousy, hatred, revenge, hypocrisy, sickness, sin, and death. Christian scientists, being students of this divine science and finding how scientifically true it is, naturally and necessarily in a measure at least grow to become one with it, to reflect it, to represent it and express it, in thought, in word, and in deed. And while this with them is a growth, and is attained to by degrees, yet patiently and by degrees it is attained. And like the shepherds of old, having seen this light, they are following where it leads, and would point others to that light, that they may follow also. Christian science being independently right, it can stand alone, and Christian scientists are growing into independence, not what the world calls independence, however, for the Christian scientists independence is absolute dependence upon God. They are learning to make practical the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." They are learning more and more to depend upon God, the one, the only giver, in sickness and in health, in pain or in pleasure, in times of plenty or in times of want, learning at all times and under all circumstances to follow the Christ through evil report as well as good report. Christian scientists, living more and more out in that principle of inexhaustible plenitude and fullness, learn a certain degree of independence of material ways and means, and a more perfect dependence upon the one great cause, whose higher laws of spirit and spirituality annul the supposed laws of matter and materiality, and consequently govern all things in the spiritual, as well as in the so-called material world. Is law of life. Christian science is the scientific knowledge, or the law of life, reduced to a system and found practical, not only in the physical healing of sickness and sin and all evil, but in the destruction of them, from off the face of the earth, that His kingdom may come, and His will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Christian scientists are those who, to the extent that they understand this great truth, are practicing it upon themselves and others, who ask of them the same God's blessing. Hundreds are being healed every day, of sickness as well as of sin, and of sin as well as of sickness. And these in their turn are learning the great fact of being, and how to apply it in their own case, and upon those who, in their turn, shall come to them. The Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, are the textbooks of Christian Science. The latter named book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, sheds a new and spiritual light on the Scriptures, illumines being, and sets thought at work in the right directions. And life is found not to be a burden, beset with sickness, enshrouded in darkness and engulfed by fear, but is found to be worth the living, for health is found in place of sickness, light instead of darkness, and love in place of fear. The sinner finds the way of redemption, and he himself, sitting at the feet of Christ, truth, clothed, and in his right mind. Less than 50 years ago this book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, was first published and given to the world. When it first appeared, critics said it would never be read. Today this book is being read more and more throughout the world, and wherever it is read the sick are healed, sinners forsake their sins, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So that the influence of this book is being felt, and its beneficial effects experienced, not only by the students of this book, but by all who come in the range of their thought. Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures casts more light on the inspired word, and is a more highly scientific work than any book that ever was written. No other book has ever stated truth so clearly, and so unwaveringly and scientifically as to rebuke sin and sickness in all their forms and make them disappear. Book teaches pure science. This book teaches pure science, it does not teach a mere belief. When Mrs. Eddy discovered Christian Science, she gave up her former opinions and ideas concerning God and man, and wrote nothing but the unfoldings of science, from the basis of the one divine principle, God. Christian Science is not another religious belief, it is science, and science is something to be understood and demonstrated, not merely believed. Christian scientists cannot properly be termed simply believers in Christian science, any more than a mathematician could be called a mere believer in mathematics. They are students of Christian science, they are studying to understand Christian science, but not trying to believe it. They soon see that their beliefs do not change anything, that what is true whether they believe it or not, but if they would get the benefit of it they must understand it, the same in the science of being as in the science of numbers. No teacher in mathematics, after demonstrating a proposition for a pupil, even asks that pupil whether he believes it, he asks him if he understands it, knowing that his belief or disbelief will not change the fact. And what is true in the science of numbers in this respect is emphatically true in the science of being. Christian science is not made up of mere personal opinions. It is the science of being, and like the science of numbers it never asks what we think about it, or how we feel about it, or whether we like it or not. It never changes to suit our likes or dislikes. It never varies one iota to gratify anyone's particular wishes or desires, no difference what your rank, how exalted or how abased, how rich or how poor, or what your seeming needs may be, or however much you beg for assistance. But, from its unchangeable laws of correctness and right, it stands as unmoved and relentless as the science of numbers, and from its great heart of love is saying, "You must come to me, I cannot come to you. You must concede to my requirements, I cannot concede to yours. I have eternal life to give, but you must needs surrender all false belief to get it. It grants your right desires, and every human need, but they must be given in God's way, and can only be your way when you have conformed to His." Christian science is based on the one universal good, hence, is good alike to all, and changes not for any. Therefore it should never be read with the question before us, whether we are going to like it, but, is it true? Is the question to be considered. It should never be studied with the idea of liking, or disliking it, as though our likes or dislikes, our acceptance or rejection would in any way affect the great fact of being. What matters it whether we believe that 1/2 × 1/2 = 1/4? If we reject it, does that prove it false? Or if we accept it, does that make it true? Does our acceptance or rejection alter the fact that can be scientifically proven and practically demonstrated? Likewise, in divine science, what matters it whether we believe that man, in his true spiritual being, by his relation and sonship to God, the Father, has for his inheritance, perfect, unchanging health, sinlessness, and everlasting life. Does our acceptance or rejection alter the fact that can be and is found logically true, and by practice is being demonstrated? This fact is being proven and demonstrated every day and every hour, and mankind is being healed, not only of his physical ills and personal sins, but is being corrected of such things as sickness and sin. Not only mankind, but the whole material universe is being benefited through the teachings and demonstrations of Christian Science, and this brings his kingdom on earth and his will, as it is in heaven. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Christian Science is the science of life. It includes and comprehends the vast infinity of being and rejects all that is unlike the one perfect being that is God, the absolute and only good. It is not something that Mrs. Eddy has created or invented. It is what she has discovered and given to the world, and for it we owe her more than we shall ever be able to repay. Right here let me say, we are not trying to repay her by personal worship or foolish adoration. We are trying in a more practical way, by seeking to understand the science she has discovered and imparted to the world, to live it daily and hourly, and never to soil it by our own opinions and beliefs. Christian scientists never talk their opinion. It does not become a scientist to be telling what he believes regarding science, for Christian Science is not made up of beliefs, opinions, and dogmas. It is science, that is all, and that is enough. It is the eternal fact of being, and can no more change as the years go by than the great unchangeable, the eternal God, can change. Christian Science, not mesmerism. Christian Science is not mesmerism. Mesmerism is the belief of minds many, that each individual has a mind of his own, and that the stronger mind can influence and take unlawful control of the weaker mind, which, judging from appearances, would be the natural inference. If the senses could be trusted, and appearance were reliable, this would be the only conclusion that could be arrived at. But we thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that in the light of Christian Science, the Revelator, that mortal sense is found to be a non-reality, that the sense testimony is unreliable. That the Bible, and science and health, corroborating the scriptures, also the grand and unsurpassed demonstrations of Jesus and the apostles, and the corroborative testimonies of healing through Christian Science. All teach and prove the power of truth over error, the power of God, good, to destroy evil. All teach and demonstrate that the one mind has power over the carnal mind, that the mortal mind or sense testimony is false, and the Christ mind is true. Science and health and the Bible, when rightly understood, disclose the fact that God is the only mind, and the so-called mortal mind is but the carnal mind, that must be corrected by the divine mind. So that Christian Science, so far from being mesmerism, is just the opposite. It exposes and destroys mesmerism. Really, it exposes and destroys mesmerism. For instead of teaching minds many, it teaches one mind, and that the mind of God, in whom no evil is, no sickness, sin, or death, which mind must overcome and annihilate the mortal mind, or negative mind, as darkness is swallowed up of light. And Christian scientists, instead of being mesmerists, are finding their way out of mesmerism, out of the belief of minds many, into the one mind, the mind that is God, where all so-called material minds are swallowed up and lost in the one divine mind, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Sickness and disease not real. Christian Science teaches there is, in reality, no such thing as sickness or disease. That sickness and disease are illusions, not that it is hypochondria or imagination in the common acceptation of those terms, but that out in the great scientific fact of being no such thing is or can be found, that sickness or disease cannot properly be said to be a part of being, that being, in its scientific purity, is as free from sickness and disease now as it was possible for it to be before the so-called finite world began, or as it ever will be, when all seeming evil is swept away and His kingdom is come on earth. Through the teaching and understanding that the ills of the flesh are not the realities of being, the world is not only being healed of its present load of misery and wretchedness, but steadily and quietly the work of reformation and regeneration is taking place, not only in these who have espoused this glorious cause, but in the minds of all men everywhere who hear of its wonderful teaching. The teachings of Christian Science are of the purest and the best. It demands right motives and aims as well as right actions, and that right doing can only come by honest and pure desires. From the mortal standpoint, evil thinking is the harbinger of evil doing. Evil thinking not only provokes wickedness, cruelty, and crime, but it also breeds sickness, disease, and death. Christian Science mind healing not only heals the physical body so called, but it heals the so-called physical mind as well, for physical mind and physical body are one. Therefore, to the extent that the physical or false mind is corrected by divine mind, the so-called physical body is changed, as thoughts of sickness are exchanged for thoughts of health, the physical body responds, for the body is but the expression of the controlling thought. Christian Science mind healing, therefore, is elevating, edifying, and refining, and all those who come to it for help are not only benefited physically, but mentally, morally, and spiritually. It teaches perfect health and righteousness, as the real, and sickness and evil as the unreal. Consequently, its teachings establish health instead of sickness, right instead of wrong. To scientific understanding, it opens wide the door on immortal glory, and reveals spiritual man in the full possession of his God-given inheritance, health, happiness, and eternal life. And thus consigns sickness, evil, and death to everlasting oblivion. It is not therefore the more superficial idea of not speaking evil or not talking sickness, but that sickness and evil are not a part of being, they therefore are not only unprofitable topics of conversation, but they are not true, and if spoken of at all they must be exposed as errors and not the facts of being. Christian Scientists, therefore, talk very little about sickness and evil. Their conversation naturally turns to that which interests them most. They are searching for and finding health, and not sickness. They are seeking for and finding the right, rather than the wrong, and, having found it, they can find it more lovely than words can tell. Consequently, when they are by themselves at least, they love to talk it, because it is nearest their heart and the one thing they love. They love to tell the story because they know 'tis true. It satisfies their longing as nothing else can do. Christian Science teaches there is no reality in sin, that God made all that was made, and all He made was good, that God did not make sin. In the Bible we read that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. The Master said, none is good, save one, that is, God. And Science and Health in its teachings corroborates these statements and reveals God, as the one only good, and that He is only good, i.e., He is not good and evil, too. He is the one absolute good in whom no evil is. Since no evil is in Him, therefore no evil could emanate from Him. Hence He made no evil, and since He made no evil, and He made all that was made, therefore evil never was made. Therefore, sin, sickness, pain and death, evil, error and discord of all kinds do not belong to God, nor to His creation, and are no more a part of the great fact of being than the errors and misunderstandings of mathematics are a part of the science of numbers, or discord a part of music. Man in his true spiritual sense is found to be as sinless and perfect now, and as unchangeable in his sinlessness, as the everlasting Father, the perfect, sinless, and unchangeable God himself. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Christian scientists are finding their way into the realms of perfect and harmonious being, where absolute right reigns, and wrong can never enter. This is the kingdom of God, where divine science alone rules, nothing else has place or power, and this is just as present and just as possible and just as accessible today as it ever will be. They are, therefore, outgrowing sin, because the more they look into it from the standpoint of absolute right, the more its nothingness appears, hence its emptiness. Therefore they do not make much of sin. They are growing, neither to sin nor to suffer sin, neither to love it, nor commit it, and that, because its reality is gone. Whereas once it was real, now it is unreal. So that Christian science, in teaching the nothingness of sin, not only takes away sin, but the temptation to sin, for when sin is nothing, then there is no incentive to sin. When evil is nothing, then good is all in all. But does the nothingness of sin or evil give the wanton license to sin? By no manner of means, for the law still remains. Christian science comes as the Christ came of old, not to destroy the law or the prophets. It comes not to destroy, but to fulfill, and not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He who sins shall suffer for his sins, and shall pay the uttermost farthing, and he who sins, he alone shall bear it. If you sow to the wind, ye shall reap the whirlwind, and if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Teaches that all is good. Christian science teaches that all is good, not, however, that sin and evil are good, but that all that is good, and that which is not good, is not at all. That sickness, sin and death, matter and mortality are not of God, the only good, and therefore are not good, and hence are not at all. Christian science teaches what the Master taught, that there is none good but one, that is, God. He, therefore, is the only good, the spirit of good, the principle of good, good in quality and in substance. His creation, like himself, must have the qualities of good, i.e., good could not produce evil, like begets like. The effect must always be like the cause. God saw everything that he had made, and, behold, it was very good. He made all that was made, but he did not make that which was not made. Sky is instance of illusion. That sky out there, for instance, that seems so real, seems like a canopy spread over earth, is but the illusion of the limited senses. We are looking out into what to finite sense is unlimited space, and we see as far as we can, and we call the limit the sky. According to physics, light travels at the amazing rapidity of more than 11 million miles in a minute of time, and yet there are stars so distant that their light is hundreds and thousands of years in reaching our planet. Then talk about seeing the sky. God's creation is spiritual and good, always has been, always will be, and never can be anything else. In his creation there is no sickness, sin, or death, matter or mortality, or anything contrary to God the only good. The so-called material world, wherein dwelleth sickness, sin and death, matter and mortality, is not of God, and is not good, and hence is not, at all. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All is mind, there is no matter. Allow me to read the scientific statement of being from our textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, page 468. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth, matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal, matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore man is not material, he is spiritual. This is one of the grandest revelations of truth and love that was ever made to human sense, for it virtually, finally, and conclusively reveals man and the universe as perfect, spiritual reflections of the one and only God. Who, but he we call, the Master, and she we call, our leader, would have love enough, and hence, the moral courage, to state that truth to a frowning world, that would liberate the world from its seeming self, and make it free indeed. There is more true love and unselfish devotion to the cause of humanity made manifest in this woman of the 20th century, Mary Baker Eddy, than has been displayed since the time of him who stood up in the face of mortal man and said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Rotherham in his version of the New Testament renders the last clause of this text, "For a lie he is, and the father of it." Christian Science is the same straight and narrow way today as when the Master taught it, 1900 years ago, on the shores of Galilee. It is as radical as the science of numbers, and one can no more deviate from its principles and rules, and still call that deviation Christian Science, than he could deviate from the principles and rules of mathematics, and still call the process mathematical. It stands preeminently alone. There is no other religion, theory, creed or doctrine that is anything like it, and there never will be, for it is absolute and final. It is based upon the principles of unchanging truth, undying life and unselfish love, which triune principle is God, that is, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Christian Science teaches, all is mind, there is no matter. The scriptures declare, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What does this teach, but that all matter and materiality shall pass away, but the divine mind and his idea shall remain forever? Furthermore, what else does it teach but that all that God has not made shall be swept away as nothingness, for nothing that he has made can ever be destroyed, for all he made was good. Christian Science does not teach that matter is a reality that will someday be destroyed, for if matter were one of the factors of being it could never be cast out, but would remain fixed forever. It is not that the material universe was created to continue for a time until it had served its purpose, then to be burned up and destroyed, but that it has no existence save in the mistaken belief of mortals, and is eliminated by the knowledge of truth in Christian Science. Someday men everywhere will know that matter does not exist, and they will know it never did exist, and that day is now. The students of this truth are finding more and more that matter, so called, has no power to heal disease, that matter is inert, that drugs have no intelligence to direct themselves, that material medicine, so called, cannot diagnose a case and therefore cannot heal it. They are finding that nothing but truth, divine mind, can overcome evil, or error of any kind. Jesus of Nazareth did not use material means in healing disease, it was the power of the Spirit, with which he destroyed sickness as well as sin, although it is stated, and some are using it as an argument against Christian Scientists, that he put clay on the blind man's eyes, when he healed him. One of the beautiful and wonderful lessons this demonstration teaches is that all men mortal are born blind and cannot see until the clay of material sense is washed away by the cleansing waters of the Spirit of Christ, and then they will see, and see clearly. Christian Scientists are finding more and more that food does not really sustain life, that while they are eating so-called material food, it has no real life-sustaining properties or qualities. Christian scientists will never stop eating and drinking until they have demonstrated over it, and that will not be until they have demonstrated over the flesh, and all mortality. But how long that will take, or when that will be accomplished, no man knoweth. It would be the height of folly for anyone to stop eating, until by actual knowledge and practical demonstration they had proven that they could live without eating. Christian science, like the scriptures, teaches, wisdom is the principal thing. And it certainly would not be wise to cast ourselves down from the pinnacle of the temple, or do any other uncalled for, or unnecessary thing. Christian science sounds the tocsin, there is no death. And St. Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The Revelator saw death and hell cast into the lake of fire, and in his most wondrous vision, he saw the tabernacle of God among men. And God should wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there should be no more death. And whatever is to be with God is done. Since, therefore, there is to be a time when death shall not be, in fact, there is no death today. What will ever be true with God is a present accomplished fact, but this must be understood and demonstrated before it becomes a fact to man. What will ever be found not true is not true today. When we found there were no fairies, we found there never had been any. When we found the sun did not rise, we found it never had risen. When we found the earth turned upon its axis, we found it always had turned upon its axis. Since there is to be a time when there will be no death, then there is no death today, and since in God's presence there is no death, then there is no death anywhere, because He is everywhere, and there is no place where He is not. Death, therefore, is another error that Christ, the truth, cast out. For as in Adam, error, all die, even so in Christ, truth, shall all be made, found alive. Why Lazarus was raised? Jesus of Nazareth did not raise Lazarus from the dead, simply to restore him to family and friends in a temporal life, again to suffer and die, and be mourned and lamented, but to show the power of truth to overcome error, to show that life was the master of death, that the Christ could triumph over every evil, sickness, sin and death. Since, as the Bible declares, sin brought death into the world, therefore the overcoming of sin is the overcoming of death, and as sickness and sin are overcome by the same Christ power, therefore to the extent that sickness or sin is overcome by truth, to that extent is death overcome. Therefore, whenever Christian scientists demonstrate over sickness and sin, either in themselves or others, they are overcoming death in a measure, and with the disappearance of sickness and sin death will disappear, and be as though it had not been, as, indeed, it never was. The divinity of Christ. Christian science, more than any other religion, teaches the divinity of Christ. On this point allow me to quote from our textbook, Science and Health, page 26, line 10. The Christ was the Spirit which Jesus implied in His own statements, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I and my Father are one. This Christ, or divinity of the man Jesus, was His divine nature, the godliness which animated Him. Divine truth, life, and love gave Jesus authority over sin, sickness, and death. His mission was to reveal the science of celestial being, to prove what God is and what He does for man. The glorious science of being comes in the name of Christ with healing on its wings, to promulgate the kingdom established by Him, of which there should be no end.